Welcome to Cattle HQ, a podcast from industry experts and progressive producers discussing cutting-edge info about the cow-calf sector to keep cattlemen and women in the know and positively affect their bottom line.
Welcome to Cattle HQ, brought to you by South Dakota State University Extension. I am Robin Salverson, SDSU Extension Cow-Calf Field Specialist, and I am joined by Kenny Wells to discuss how ABS Global has become incorporating sex semen into the beef cattle industry. So welcome to Cattle HQ, Kenny. I'm really excited to have you on this episode.
Yes, thanks for having me on. I'm really excited about being here today.
So during this episode, we're going to talk about the use of artificial insemination, or AI, but more specifically, the use of sex semen in the commercial beef industry. So Kenny, you work for ABS. Could you just share the mission of ABS and what your role is within that mission?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Probably one of the things I'm proudest of working at ABS is our vision statement. We're about pioneering animal genetic improvement to sustainably nourish the world. And I think that's a pretty noble thing, really, to get to come to work for on a day-to-day basis. And so I do think back to that a lot in my day-to-day work, and I'm appreciative of working at a place that has that as their vision. In regard to my role at ABS, I actually think it's probably pretty similar to an extension and outreach kind of a role. I do a lot of, I guess, support for both our customers and our authorized representatives and sales force in the field. My training is in reproductive physiology. And so I try to kind of blend that with genetics advice and try to that interface between reproductive technology and getting the right genetics in the right people's hands.
Awesome. Well, we're thankful to have you and your knowledge and your expertise with us today on our Cattle HQ episode. So for our listeners that are not familiar with straws of semen, or also called units of semen, a conventional straw, which includes both the male and female sperm cells, has approximately 20 to 40 million sperm cells within that straw. However, sex semen straw, or sometimes we also maybe hear it as gender sorted straws, has just male or female sperm cells. Could you describe that process of sorting the male from the female?
Yeah. And I'll start with just one point of clarification there.
Yeah.
It's usually majority male or female, right? There's typically just a little bit of the undesired sex in there, but the skew rate is usually up into the 90s in terms of towards the gender that we want. And so that's enough to get us a desired outcome. There's actually two technologies out there in the business today, ABS and one of their competitors. Our technology uses a process that we call sperm cell ablation. And it's based on the difference in DNA content between the X and Y chromosome in the sperm cells. There's just a little bit more DNA in an X chromosome. And so that cell's identifiable, or that lets us kind of tell the difference between them. We use a system that, I mean, it's very complex and way over my head engineering wise, but basically we get those sperm cells lined up in a single file line going through a microchip, and then use two lasers. The first laser identifies the sex of that sperm cell, and the second one then ablates or basically destroys the undesired sex. Basically what we're left with is a very high percentage of the desired either X or Y chromosome bearing sperm cells.
So what you're saying, though, is you actually are killing or ablating the sex that you don't want.
That's correct. And so one point of clarification I might throw out there for anybody that uses this product is that we actually leave those destroyed sperm cells in the straw. And so if you were to look at it under a microscope, you might notice a lot of kind of, for the lack of a better word, junk in there. But we've done that to avoid going through another step of manipulation on the sperm and sorting out those dead cells, and they really have no negative impact on the final outcome of creating pregnancy.
So, I had the opportunity when I was in graduate school to be working at Colorado State University with my master's degree. And
Okay.
that's when the beginning, if you want to say, of Sex Semen started there at XY
Absolutely.
Inc. And they were actually sorting, and you can, I know this is a different technology, but they were at that time sorting male cells into one tube, if you want to say. Dead or are unidentifiable ones into another tube, and females into another tube. And so, is that technology still exists too? Is that kind of the other
Yeah, that would be
technology
one of
that
our
exists?
competitors,
Yep. Okay.
technologies that's out there. And you did make a point there, though, that I would go back to, is that there's a percentage of our sperm cells that are not identifiable as well, and those get ablated in our process, right,
Okay.
as well, to help kind of, I guess, make sure that we've got what we want in the straw at the end of the day.
Well, I think it's important for our listeners to understand that process of sexing that semen because I guess the next question I had for you is there would be a difference, I would assume, between conventional straws of semen and sex semen in regards to conception rates. Is that true?
Yeah, that is right. And to your point, that's largely because it's a product that we've got to manipulate some, right? This product gets manipulated post-collection, pre-freezing, more than a conventional straw of semen. And so it's logical that we're going to see a little bit of a decrease in fertility there. And so yeah, we typically see in the range of what we would characterize as an 85 to 90% sort of relative conception rate. So, for example, if you're, if a bull conventionally was to expected to be 60% for his conception rate, then we would probably expect his sex product to land in the low to mid 50s in terms of conception rate that you would see with that product. And so, different bulls, you know as well as anyone, different bulls have different conception rates, and even throughout the year we see changes in bulls fertility wise, but in general that's the probably the best way to characterize the difference in fertility.
So also with a straw of sex semen, though, there's also a different amount of actual sperm cells in
That's right.
that straw. So could you share what that looks like compared to a conventional straw? Like I said, I mentioned 20 to 40 million sperm cells in a conventional.
Yeah, and I think your 20 to 40 number probably is the initial packing rate. And so we typically talk about ours in terms of post-thaw motile sperm cells, right? Those ones that are actually alive after we've got the unit thawed. Our minimum on a beef straw of semen is a target of at least 8 million post-thaw motile sperm cells. For sex semen, we're in the 1.8 to 2.0 million sperm cells range. And so and we're still trying to, obviously there's a difference there, but we still see very good results with a product like that. And we wouldn't, doesn't benefit anybody to put out a straw that's significantly less fertile than a conventional straw.
Absolutely. I'm just going to kind of go back to a reference that you made about your process, and that there is a difference in the DNA content between the male and female, right? XX versus XY. And it's a joke amongst my friends that the reason that females are smarter is because we have more genetic matter. So
I won't tell my wife and daughters that.
it's truly a running joke, and I've always enjoy sharing that during AI school, so that kind of shuts some of the men up sometimes. I'm just joking. So the yes, excuse me, the use of sex semen is, very common in the dairy industry,
Yes.
but it's not very common in the beef industry. So could you maybe share some of those benefits of why people within the beef industry would want to consider using sex semen? It makes sense in the dairy industry, right? We're striving for those females. But in the beef industry, for some people, it's like, I'm fine, I sell steers and I keep some replacement heifers back. So.
Yeah, I think the dairy industry actually gives us a really kind of extreme example of why you'd want to do it in our business, right? Those, that dairy cow is absolutely I mean, she's built to do a very maternal type of a thing, right? She's built to get pregnant and lactate and to do really nothing else. You know, there's no traits, there's no terminal traits really built into those cattle. And so sex semen has let them focus on making those females in herds from their very best females, right? And then do something different with the rest of their cow herd. And I think that's something worth contemplating for a lot of beef producers. You know, can you go down a path like that? You know, I think it just gives us an opportunity in the beef industry to make really focused genetic decisions around both maternal and terminal type matings, where in the past maybe we've had to go down the middle of the road. You know, and I think the industry has done really well in that regard in terms of using what I would call maybe dual purpose cattle that do both maternal and terminal things well. Ultimately, I think we probably sacrifice a little bit on one side or the other in an equation like that. And I think sex semen gives us a tool to make a really focused maternal mating decision on a portion of our cows, and then probably gives us an opportunity to do even better in terms of the marketable portion of our calf crop as well.
So that leads really well into that I program that ABS has initiated, and it's the 60-40 program. And I was just curious if you would, share what that program looks like, and especially how it could benefit those commercial cow-calf producers.
Yeah, I think 60-40 is what we see as sort of our answer for commercial producers to implement sex semen, right? I think seed stock producers and kind of more specialty niche type producers have figured out the value of sex semen a while ago, but the commercial producers have been a little more reluctant to. I think, you know, a lot of the commercial cattle that we see AI'd in our business get bred off of fixed time AI. And so the idea of 60-40 is really that there's probably a minimum of 60% of cows in any fixed time AI program that are good candidates to get a straw of sex semen. What we see with sex semen is that there is a much better fertility rate or a better conception rate in cows that have expressed estrus at the time of fixed time AI. And so it's a pretty good bet that off of most sync protocols, you're going to be able to see a 60% response rate. And so 60-40 is really kind of practically it's implementing a fixed time AI protocol, fitting those cows with some sort of estrus detection aid at the time of seeder removal. And so, you know, if an estrotect or tail paint or whatever your choice is there, and then putting the sex semen into females that have displayed estrus by the time of fixed time AI. And I think that can be either for the production of females, or it can be, you know, to skew your calf crop to the male side as well. Just kind of depending on the producer's goals and targets and those kinds of things. But I do think it works really well for the scenario where we're trying to make replacement females, because I feel like we're adding a few layers of reproductive selection intensity into that as well. You know, those cows that are in good body condition and longer postpartum at the time of AI are probably the ones that are going to respond well for us to a sync protocol like this. Putting semen from a maternally focused type of a bull into a cow like that to make your replacement females, to me, seems like a really good bet, a smart decision from a sort of a long-term reproductive function standpoint.
And we know data shows too that the earlier we get a female bred and that heifer that calves earlier in that next calving season will stay in the herd longer if she is kept as a replacement female.
That's right. Yeah. And so there is that, you know, I guess the kind of add-on piece of this is if you actually end up keeping all your replacement females out of that fixed time AI project, you are breeding the very earliest born females out of that, ne you know, next calving season. And there you go. Another, you know, I talk about it like sort of as a form of like compounding interest almost, right? We just keep layering on these reproductive management concepts that we know work, and I think it's really a blueprint to build a really reproductively efficient kind of a cow herd.
And then that remaining 40% would just be bred to a conventional straw semen,
That's
and
right.
it's kind of a 50-50 whether you get heifers or steers, and then they can go into our, calves that we sell at weaning or back gounding or wherever your animals go from that
Yeah,
point
that's right. I
on.
think
So
it gives us some opportunities to do different things. Kind of the base scenario that we talk about is putting a straw of a terminally focused conventional straw semen into those 40% of cows to, like you said, make a high value calf to be sold at weaning. But I think there's scenarios where maybe a producer just wants to maximize the number of calves out of a particular bull, and you could go back in with the same bull that you're using sex semen if you just wanted to maximize the number of heifer calves you got out of a group of cows, for instance. And so I think there's a lot of different ways to apply it, but we do feel like the best option is probably to put conventional semen into those cows that haven't shown estrus at the time of fixed time AI.
because there should be a obviously a better response for conception rate
That's
too.
right.
Oh,
We see a
so
better breed up in those
breed up.
females with that conventional straw semen. Yep.
And then you I was able to read an article that someone wrote up on the 60/40 program that you spoke on actually, and then you said that another good reproductive management or is you turn potentially depending on that producer's goal. Is then to turn in a terminal bull for natural service, for instance, if they are trying to, with that last 40% of that herd, you're trying to, make that a good calf crop at weaning, for instance, for a terminal
Yeah,
type
to me, the
situation.
beauty of the 60/40 is the ability to kind of leverage some genetic extremes, if you will, make a really maternal, low input, highly efficient kind of a cow with that sex semen on those front end matings. And then, if you're 40%, if your goal is out of the rest of the calves to make a highly marketable set of feeders or cattle that you're going to retain ownership on, at that point, your bull battery for cleanup really needs to be pretty terminally focused to take full advantage of a program like 60/40. And it actually gives you the freedom to do that, right? If you're not keeping replacement heifers back out of it. And so I think it does sort of let us take maximum advantage of those kind of extremes that we see today in the industry for genetics.
Well, and I think it's a value too to think about it. I was talking to a producer one day and he said, I mainly run Chars. That's his, he runs Charlays, but he has to keep a group of his cows back to be bred for replacements. And then he no longer, and of course, all of those are, some are going to be steers. If he's doing a conventional straw semen or natural service, it doesn't matter. That group that he's trying to make replacements from, 50% on average are going to be steers, okay? And then a portion of those heifers are not going to be kept as replacements. And so then you get a lot of sorting going on. And when you get to a sale barn or whatnot, they start, sorting these animals out, and you no longer have load lots. And you no longer, we know that animals that sell as load lots sell better than animals that you have 10 head here, 15 head here, 20 head here. If you have 80 calves coming through that sale barn that all match or very similar, that are the terminal sires, whether it's Chars or Char crosses or whether they're just all black, right? But he was seeing that this, he was having a, wasn't seeing the financial benefit of keeping a small group of cows back to try to get replacements from, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that's a scenario that's custom fit to doing this because you can make a mating to make a replacement female that you really don't want a steer calf out of, right? And you're going to end up with a very small percentage of steers out of that mating, but I think it's a manageable number. And then you can be just as terminally focused on the rest as you want. The other thing that I would add there is what you pointed out is that I think this is a really great opportunity to implement crossbreeding. You can build a cow that's crossbred because we know there's a real reproductive advantage, longevity advantage to those crossbred cows. And you can use something completely different as a terminal solution if that's the path you want to go down with this. And so, Charlay being one really good option there. And so I think think there's a lot of potential and a lot of flexibility in the way people can implement a program like this.
I mean, adaptability is the key word,
Yes.
and making it work for yourself and your goals and your operations. So, ABS actually worked with a cooperating herd out of Montana. With the 60-40 program, could you share some of those results from that on-ranch study that you
Yeah,
guys
yeah. So
did?
we worked with a ranch called the Bear Ranch in Martinsdale, Montana. They're actually owned by a foundation, and so they're a nonprofit. They run about 900 cows in a given year. We had the opportunity to work with them for going on 5 years now to basically run a demonstration project of this 60-40 concept. There we were really looking at making replacement females, and so we used female sex semen. And kind of I think there's probably three big observations that we got out of that. The first is was sort of a validation of that relative conception rate, because we did split the cows and do a comparison between using just conventional semen and then doing the 60-40. And so that kind of validated that relative conception rate that I gave you to begin the discussion here. The second part was, could we make them enough replacement females with the 60% of them being bred to female sex semen? And through the first 4 years of calving those cattle out, we've made more, we've exceeded their target for a number of replacement females needed out of a calf crop with just the sex semen straws there. And then the third thing that I would say is that kind of in retrospect, we didn't really spread out the calving season. Now, we've already talked that we're going to see a small decrease in fertility, right? So we're not going to get as many cows bred on the first day of the calving season. But what we saw is that by 42 days, two cycles later, essentially the same proportions of the herds were bred up. And so there wasn't really a obvious negative consequence of implementing this 60-40s, which I think is reassuring as well. And I think part of that is just to go back to kind of basic reproductive management, is that fixed time AI is such a powerful management tool. Just giving all those cows a shot to get bred the first day of the breeding season gets you such a head start on getting cows bred and calved out early, that I think the slight decrease that we see in conception rate with sex semen doesn't really have a major negative consequence in the overall breed up.
You mentioned too that this particular ranch had more females than they really needed to replace their heifers or start replace with replacements. I think that's another avenue for individuals that if they do have some additional heifers that are high quality, that they could start selling them, have another enterprise potentially,
Yes.
as really great replacement heifer calves going into somebody else's operation.
Yeah,
So.
that's right. And I think it also gives people maybe an opportunity to look at this number and say, maybe I don't need, if you're really good, your cows are not turning over fast, maybe you don't need to breed 60% of the cows with female sex semen. Maybe 50% is a better target. And maybe that gives you an opportunity to put some male sexed terminal semen into a group of cows as well, and start to skew that marketable portion of your calf crop towards the male side of the equation.
So there's a lot of opportunities. And when I read this article that was written up, I was like, this is a really a very easy program to think about, to tell you the truth. If you've done any, like you said, any AI, used timed insemination, 60-40 makes a lot of sense. And there's a lot of adaptability to the goals that producers, whatever goals those producers have. And you mentioned actually, just a little bit ago, you won't maximize AI pregnancy rates with the use of sex semen and the 60-40 program, but those cow-calf producers will gain a lot more. I mean, you don't see any negative impacts or effects, so in
Yeah, I
regards
think
to
it's
that.
to me it's, and I'll be honest, maybe early in my role at ABS, I wasn't always a big proponent of sex semen, but I think when you see it implemented, just the value of making the right calf from each and every mating that you make is really impactful, right? Just making a set of replacement females out of exactly the cows you want them out of is a powerful tool. And then the ability then to really push the limits on terminal value on the rest of a calf crop becomes a valuable piece as well. And so I think I always tell people in customer meetings, I think folks like myself and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we spend a lot of time talking about trying to maximize conception rates in an AI
Right.
program. And I think that has actually probably been a bit of a roadblock to the implementation of sex semen by a lot of folks, because they have a hard time getting around the idea that maybe we're gonna take a step back for conception rates. But I do think there's a lot of power in making the right calf from every mating with a product like this.
Absolutely. We do. I just say that a lot too, just like you, Kenny. So when sex semen first came out and when it was starting to be integrated within the like ABS, the sires, the companies, a lot of beef bulls were not sorted. Is that changed now? Is there a lot more bulls in your lineup, for instance, that commercial cow-calf producers can look at that sire catalog and say, I like him. Can I get sex semen on him?
I would tell you that our availability of bulls of sort of on the, from clear across the genetic spectrum across multiple breeds is as good today as it's ever been. There still are bulls occasionally that just don't work in the on the technology, right? That they just for whatever reason don't work. But I think we, the industry, has gotten better and better with the technology. It keeps improving, and so that it's sort of opened the door to a broader spectrum of bulls. And for us, having our own technology in house has given us a little bit more freedom to sex product on a wider spectrum of bulls as well. And so yeah, I think we would be hard pressed to find a producer that we couldn't find a bull that fit them in the form of sex semen today. And even if there's a bull that a person wanted that wasn't sexed, it's not necessarily off the table that we couldn't make that product as well.
So, does ABS, you get a lot of the data back and how your bulls have done out in the field, out on the ranch, right? Do you get that also with sex semen, or do you guys do some in-house type of research with the bulls that you collect and sorted, to see what their conception rates are? 'Cause as you said, some bulls just don't sort well. And so, do you do your own research to verify that, or do you do more on ranch type?
We do our best to try to get some field data on these bulls. Sex semen is, while it's a growing portion of what we sell, it is a smaller piece of the overall sales units. And so today, to say that we have, a tremendous volume of sex semen fertility data, it is probably not right, but we do try to get that where we can. We probably have better data on the dairy side of our business on that product
Sure.
as well, and we continue to watch that and to monitor that fertility there, just in case there's any issues. But I think always trying to make sure the process is improving.
Well, I think it's important for our listeners to understand too that unfortunately at this time, and a lot of research is being done, we cannot look under a microscope and say that is a highly fertile semen. It's just not there. And so
We do a host of quality control things ahead of time. We do, obviously, all the standard semen morphology things that we can. We do everything we can ahead of time to make sure that we're putting up a really good product. But to your point, there are things that influence fertility that you just can't see under a microscope, and so there is a bit of a risk there, but I think by and large, we're putting up, and the industry does a good job of putting up good product and making pregnancies for people.
I totally agree. The industry does put out very, very good product, and you guys have to follow a very strict regimen of doing pre-thaw, or not pre-thaw, excuse me. Before you freeze, you have to evaluate, then you freeze, and then you do a post-thaw evaluation. And before it ever leaves your facilities, right? Am I expressing
Yeah,
this
and today it's
correctly?
a, you know, it's really,
So.
we use a system, a CASA system, which is all a computerized system of tracking sperm cells, which is really pretty amazing if you ever get to see the get the opportunity to see something like that, you know, versus historically a lot of that was done sort of by a trained trained person under a microscope. But I think, you know, there again, another example of continuously improving the process of trying to put up a really good product. And like I said, it does none of us any good to put out something that won't get cows pregnant. So we do our very best to make sure what goes out the door is going to do that. So.
Absolutely. Well, we are going to be winding down this episode of the Cattle HQ podcast, but is there any additional last thoughts that you have, Kenny, before we sign off?
I would just encourage it, you know, everybody out there to take a minute and think about, you know, whether sex semen fits into your operation. It doesn't just have to be for you know, making replacement females. I think we see a lot of seed stock producers who are thinking about, you know, creative ways to make more bulls, for example, out of a fixed set of cows and resources. You know, I think sex semen is a really interesting tool to make the most of your most valuable product from your farm and ranch. And so I think that it's just something to may not be a fit for everybody, but it's definitely worth giving it some consideration.
Well, thank you, Kenny, for those last thoughts, and thank you for joining us on this cattle or on this episode of Cattle HQ.
Thanks for having me today.
Once again, this has been Cattle HQ, brought to you by SDSU Extension, headquarters for all things beef cattle. Visit extension.sdstate.edu for the latest beef information. Until our next episode, remember, we are as rich as the last person we help.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Cattle HQ, brought to you by SDSU Extension, headquarters for all things beef. We invite you to visit extension.sdstate.edu for the latest beef information, as well as subscribe to the show on Spotify. You will also find show notes and resources from today's episode. Until next time, remember, success is not a goal, it's a byproduct.